Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, cultural enrichment, and all-inclusive fares. Discover more at Viking.com.
Boeing's trip to space is put on hold.
This is an area where Boeing wants to be competitive.
A look at why this latest mission is key to the aerospace giant's future. Plus, U.S. crypto traders look to offshore exchanges. And do we still need a five-day work week? It's Friday, July 30th. I'm Mark Stewart with The Wall Street Journal. Here's the AM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories moving your world today. We begin in Hong Kong, where the first person convicted under the national security law imposed by Beijing was sentenced to 9 years in prison. As we talked about earlier this week, the 24-year-old man had been found guilty of inciting secession and committing terrorist activities last July after driving a motorcycle that collided with police officers during a protest. We'll have more on WSJ.com. Actress Scarlett Johansson is suing Disney over the release of the latest Marvel movie, Black Widow. In a lawsuit, Johansson said her pay was largely based on box office performance and that her contract was breached when Disney released Black Widow in theaters at the same time as its Disney Plus streaming service. It's a strategy that Disney and other big players have used while theaters have been shut during the pandemic, and the case could be a bellwether for the industry. A Disney spokesman said Johansson's suit had no merit and that it had fully complied with her contract. The CEO of Procter & Gamble is stepping down after a 6-year run. During his time at the consumer products company, David Taylor battled with an activist investor, revived sales, and navigated through a pandemic. Taylor will serve as executive chairman and will be succeeded November 1st by his top deputy, John Mueller, who is a company veteran. The leadership change comes at a delicate moment for the maker of Pampers and Crest products. While the pandemic spurred demand for household products last year, it has strained supply chains and pushed up costs in a sector that operates on thin profit margins. And the first plane carrying more than 200 Afghan interpreters and their families departed from Afghanistan for the U.S., that's according to officials. This marks the beginning of a major effort to evacuate thousands of Afghans who face retribution by the Taliban for aiding the U.S. military and reconstruction effort over two decades of war. Another full day of quarterly results as we end the week, including ExxonMobil, Procter & Gamble, Chevron, and Caterpillar, and the Department of Commerce will release data today on consumer spending. We've talked a lot about the popularity of crypto on the podcast, and now new research suggests Americans are getting around bans intended to stop U.S. customers from accessing overseas cryptocurrency exchanges. Let's talk about this further with markets reporter Joe Wallace in London. Good morning to you, Joe.
Good morning, Mark.
Joe, the data firm Inca Digital is out with this new report. What did it find?
It found that hundreds of Americans are trading risky crypto derivatives on offshore exchanges such as Binance and FTX, which suggests that Americans are easily circumventing the bans you mentioned, which was already a bit of an open secret in the industry. And Inca found that Americans were circumventing these bans by scouring Twitter for activity from crypto traders, including those boasting about successful trades. And the fact that the bans are being circumvented matters because in the US, crypto derivatives, which allow traders to place leveraged bets on whether currencies like Bitcoin or Dogecoin rise or fall, are regulated by the Commodity Futures Trading Commission. By operating outside the US and not serving American clients, exchanges can avoid many CFTC rules, which include investor protection requirements.
And what has the response been? What are we hearing from the crypto exchanges in response to this?
FTX said it was tightening its procedures to block US users. Chief Executive Sam Bankman-Fried told the Journal that FTX had reviewed a portion of the Twitter accounts identified in the report and taken steps to remove suspected US users from its exchange. Four of the other exchanges in the report said in statements that they had blocked US users. They were Binance, Bitfinex, Bybit, and OKEx. And a BitMEX spokesperson said the exchange's user verification program was designed to meet the highest international standards and to set the benchmark for the crypto industry.
And we should point out, FTX added a new authentication step after the Journal's inquiries into this. Also, U.S. regulators have stepped up efforts to police offshore crypto exchanges. Joe Wallace, thank you.
Thanks, Mark.
Just ahead, why Boeing has so much riding on a launch to the International Space Station. We'll discuss after the break.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. Robert Half is here to help. Our recruiting professionals utilize our proprietary AI to connect businesses with highly skilled talent. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Aerospace giant Boeing was set to launch its Starliner space capsule this afternoon from the Kennedy Space Center in Florida. It was going to be a test flight, no passengers on board, but the flight was postponed last night because of a problem at the International Space Station, and it's added pressure to an already tense situation. Boeing's relationship with NASA dates back decades, but the space race has gotten busy, and there are a number of companies that want to get in on the action. For more on what's at stake, I'm joined by the WSJ's Micah Maidenberg, who covers the business of space and flight safety. Thanks for being here, Micah.
Thanks for having me, Mark.
So, Micah, why did NASA and Boeing postpone today's launch?
So, Boeing and NASA pulled it because of an incident at the International Space Station that occurred kind of in the early afternoon yesterday, on Thursday. This Russian space vessel called the Naka had docked kind of earlier Thursday morning at the space station. And then around 12:45 yesterday, it began firing its thrusters. And that caused the space station to sort of move out of its expected, orientation. And ground control teams quickly sort of responded to get the station stabilized and back on track. Not long after that occurred, the agency and Boeing just said, we're not going to try to send the Starliner up and have the team have to incorporate yet another spacecraft onto the station. It is possible the launch could go ahead on August 3rd, so early next week.
All right, so there wasn't a problem with the Starliner. This was all external.
Yeah, that's right. Throughout the last week, officials at NASA and at Boeing have said the Starliner is really, really ready to go. It's passed all of its flight readiness tests and reviews, and it's ready and waiting.
Now, this isn't the first time that Starliner has tried to get to the ISS. There was a failed flight back in 2019. What happened there exactly, and what's changed at Boeing that put the space program in a better position for the flight that was supposed to come today?
Right. So the flight that was scheduled for today was a do-over, a second attempt by Boeing to sort of get the Starliner flight right. In December of 2019, the Starliner capsule was successfully launched on a rocket into orbit, but a number of problems sort of emerged during the flight. There was a software error that sent the capsule into the wrong orbit, for example, and folks on the ground were having a hard time communicating, with the vehicle. It didn't have crew on it, but that, communications lapse was, a cause for concern. So since that time, over the last, roughly year and a half, Boeing and NASA have said that they've been working meticulously, really rigorously to check and recheck everything, the software, how the software relates to the hardware. Boeing implemented these sort of peer reviews amongst his software engineers. So, folks were sort of checking each other's work, and they hired an outside contractor to put another set of eyes on what, their teams were doing. NASA also you know, sort of beefed up its capacity to sort of track the software changes. So those efforts, I think, gave the company and the agency a lot of, you know, confidence about kind of Starliner coming off as planned, you know, before the flight was postponed.
Yeah, and Micah, for many years, Boeing has been a major contractor for NASA. But now more aerospace companies are looking for opportunities with the agency. How much pressure is Boeing under?
Yeah, they're under a significant amount of pressure to get this right. Most immediately, you've got Elon Musk's SpaceX already transporting both cargo to the space station and astronauts. You know, so SpaceX has jumped out of Boeing, you know, in providing those services, you know, for NASA. And that's not a position that Boeing, which, you know, like you said, has had a relationship with NASA for many, many years and helped put, you know, Americans on the moon. That's not a position they want to be in. So, and on sort of the Blue Origin side, like clearly Blue Origin, Jeff Bezos's space enterprise, is looking, you know, to sort of get more opportunities with NASA. And that's a kind of competitive threat potentially, you know, for Boeing going forward as well. It's just the contracting space is getting a little bit more crowded with these new ventures getting aggressive.
And this launch comes after a tough spell at Boeing. This week, the company reported its first profit in nearly 2 years, which was driven in part by its defense business. How important are these government contracts for Boeing's bottom line?
Yeah, I mean, the defense business, which includes sort of the space-related activity, sort of served Boeing during the crisis around the 737 MAX, and also just the overall downturn in aviation during the pandemic as kind of a safety net. It was like a unit where the company could rely on some more steady revenue, and that, you know, ripples through down to the bottom line. This is an area where Boeing wants to be competitive. Interestingly, the company that said space is also important for talent, for recruiting. David Calhoun, Boeing's CEO, said earlier this week that Boeing's mission, including its space ambitions, really helps it, you know, hire and recruit top tier talent. You know, people want to go to space, he said. And so that, you know, having like that talent is also really important for the company's overall performance.
Micah, how important is it for NASA that things go well with Boeing?
Well, it's really important because it, you know, NASA has this policy objective of having two different U.S.-based providers of transport services to the International Space Station. One of them is ready to go, you know, SpaceX. And the second would potentially be Boeing. But right now, Boeing is not, until they pull off these test flights, is not providing that service. And NASA has to rely on Russian rockets, you know, as its second option. So the agency really wants to have that U.S.-based kind of optionality, if you will. And, you know, more broadly, NASA wants Boeing to be a solid, strong, reliable contractor that can pull off, you know, big missions. NASA completed a study of Boeing's sort of safety culture. The agency has been sort of watching very closely what the company is up to, because they rely on them and they need them to be sort of a contributor to their missions.
Micah Maidenberg. Micah, thank you.
Thanks, Mark.
And finally, it's Friday, but should you even be at work? The pandemic has upended Americans' working lives, and many are demanding an improved work-life balance. That's led companies to rethink alternative work schedules. Here's the WSJ's Patrick Thomas.
It all starts with the pandemic. I mean, the tradition of the 5-day, 40-hour work week is under pressure after really COVID-19 kind of calls into question a lot of our long-held beliefs about the structure and nature of work. You know, companies have been experimenting with remote work and hybrid technologies and really trying to find new ways to give employees more flexibility. The stresses of the pandemic have had us talking more about burnout and mental health. So it's the experience of the pandemic and working from home is beginning to question all the FaceTime requirements of the workplace.
You can hear more from Patrick on our sister podcast, Your Money Briefing. And that's what's news for a Friday morning. Thank you for spending part of your week with us. As always, we'll be back tonight with a new show. You can always see the top stories on WSJ.com and the Journal app. I'm Mark Stewart for The Wall Street Journal. Enjoy the weekend, and thanks for listening.